Proverbs passage that we looked at several years ago, but I just feel like the Lord wants us to think about this a little bit today. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. You know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We read John 3:16 like this so many times, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not die and go to hell, but would have heaven as their destination." That's the way we read John 3:16. But actually what John 3:16 says is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him is no longer in a state of perishing, but is now in a state of eternal life. Jesus said to know Him was to know life. I want to stamp on your heart the truth that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just about going to heaven when you die. We present it that way all the time. As a matter of fact, one of the most famous presentations of the gospel begins with, if you were to stand before God today and He were to ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would your answer be? Well, that immediately takes us to a point beyond life to death, where we're standing before God and we're given an account of why He should let us into heaven. And so unconsciously, I think what we do is we relegate eternal life just to heaven when we die. But Jesus said, "I came that they might have life." You say, "Well, Brother Mike, that means when He dies on the cross, then He can give people life, they can be saved and go to heaven when they die." That's not what He said. "I came that they might have life and that they might have that more abundantly. He that believeth in Me shall never die," Jesus said. Not ever. So we're living in the kingdom of God now. Jesus spent His ministry saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like the other. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower that goeth forth to sow." You say, "Brother Mike, He doesn't say that." He does in His explanation. The sower goes forth to sow, and he sows some seed on good ground, and some seed on stony ground, and some seed on thorny ground, and some by the wayside. And he gives an explanation of that. And when the disciples come to Jesus and say, "What does that mean?" He says, "This is the way the kingdom is." He said the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who takes a little bit of leaven and she puts it in some dough, and it imperceptibly and without observation, it makes the dough rise. That's life now. That's not heaven in by and by. I plan to go to heaven. But that is not all that the gospel is about. Now, I said that to say this. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." If we're going to talk about living in the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have to talk about the issues of life. You see, living as a Christian has to do with life now, not just life after the funeral. It's life now. How do I do my living from day to day in this kingdom of God? When I was saved, I died out of that old kingdom. I was brought into a new kingdom. The Bible says we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So we begin to live in the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Bible says then our lives flow out of our hearts. So if we're going to live in the kingdom of heaven, something's going to have to happen to our heart. The book of Jeremiah says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know them? That's the human heart. That's where we are. And every one of you has a heart. Now, when I say that, I am not thinking about the thumper in your chest. Could you draw a circle in your mind? Draw a circle. Inside that, that's you. The circle is you. Okay? Circle. Got it? Do you see it? That's your heart. That's who you are on the inside. See, it doesn't matter much what you put on this. It doesn't matter if you put on a facade of a songbook. It's still the same on the inside. You can put preacher on there. You can put deacon on there. You can put song leader on there. You can put good church member on there. You can put I profess Jesus on there. You can do all of those things and it doesn't change what you are in your heart. So I want you to see that today. I want you to see that every one of us has that center. All of us have that heart. Now, the Bible says if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for us, that He rose again, and if we confess with our mouth, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if we believe with our heart in our innermost being that God changes our hearts. He changes us. You see, the Christian life is lived from the inside out. It is never lived from the outside in. It's always lived from the inside out. I wish you could see your heart as a lake. Like a spring-fed lake. And out of your heart, boiling out of your heart, is your life. That's just you. If you're a hateful person, it's because you have a hateful heart. If you're an irritated person, it's because you have an irritated heart. If you're a lustful person, it's because you have a lustful heart. If you're a greedy person, it's because you have a greedy heart. If you're a person who loves the attention of men and the approval of men, it's because you've got a heart that's has desire for approval of men. If you have a heart that loves Jesus, and everybody knows that you love Jesus, it's because your heart loves Him. If you are faithful to God, and everybody knows you're faithful to God, it's because in your heart you're faithful to God. You see, I'm trying to get you to understand that this thing of living for God and living with God is a heart matter. It's an inward thing. It's a relationship that you have with the Savior in the very depths of who you are. Now let me tell you something. Every person in this building who's saved loves Christ. Every person in this building, if Union Baptist Church was not here, every person who's saved in this building, if Union Baptist Church did not exist, would find themselves among believers somewhere on the weekend. Because you just got Jesus is in there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everybody who's saved loves the Word of God. Now, I didn't say you understood it all or that you always had an appetite to read it. But I want to tell you something. If you find somebody off in the woods somewhere on their knees with a Bible before them, that's coming out of their hearts. It's not because they're doing it for the show of men. Something has stirred them from the inside to study the Bible, to read the Bible. It's the same thing about prayer. It's the same thing about a good man who does good deeds. It's coming out of his heart. I'm saying you can tell a person's heart by how they live. I'm not preaching works salvation. I'm preaching salvation that works. I'm not preaching that you're saved by doing things. I'm saying you do things because you're saved. So the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. In the Hebrew, it's a play on words almost. It is a guard your heart with an extra guard. Keep your heart with a keeping is literally what it says. Because out of it are the issues of life. In other words, if you're going to serve Christ, if you're going to live for God, if you're going to walk with God, You have to give attention to your heart. You know what we tell people? Oh, how backwards we have it. We say, now, if you want to live for God, read your Bible. That's good advice. If you really want to walk with God, you need to spend time every day alone with God in prayer. Yeah. But what about your heart? If you want to be a Christian, and we sang that this morning. It's the reason I had him sing that song. We didn't get around to it. But Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be holy in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. That's the Christian life flowing out of your heart. Now, Jim, that lake, there it is. It's not a salt lake because the Bible says, guard your heart, from out of it are the issues of life. Just like that spring that springs up and the water fills up the lake, and then out of that lake comes a stream, and that stream flows down the mountainside. And you see, I hope you're seeing that stream coming out of that lake up in the mountains. Well, that's your heart. And the stream is your life. Now, if there's going to be people that are drinking from the stream, downstream, you need to put a guard around the lake so that you're sure that nobody or nothing pollutes the lake. That's literally what the proverb writer is saying. Put a guard around that well, that source of your life, because everybody that comes in contact with you comes in contact with the stream that flows out of your heart. For out of it are the issues of life, the Bible says. Jesus said it's from our heart that evil comes into the world. They were fussing at Him one day because He wasn't washing His hands in the ceremonial way. The Jews washed their hands in a certain way, and then they washed all the way up. And it had nothing to do with germs, had nothing to do with cleanliness, it had to do with ceremony. And Jesus didn't do that, and so they complained to Him. Jesus said to them, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Now listen to what He says. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Again, He's not talking about hygiene here. He's talking about the things that flow out of our heart. Set a guard around your heart. You see, if you don't have this stuff in your heart, it's not going to flow out of your heart, is it? We used to sing the little song, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear. Because you're putting in your heart, with your eyes, with your ears, you're putting stuff in your heart. There needs to be somebody who's standing there before it gets past your eyes and past your ears that says, halt! Who goes there? Identify yourself. Are you of God? Are you of the flesh? Are you of the devil? Where are you from? You're not getting into my heart until I know who you are. Put a guard around your heart. Why? Because out of it's flowing the stream of your life. And other people are drinking from that stream. Your friends, your neighbors. We've had an emphasis today on marriage. Husbands, your wife drinks from your stream. Your children drink out of what's coming out of your heart. They just do. The people you work with drink from your stream. They receive what's coming out of your heart. Now, I want to tell you something. If the lake is full of dead dogs and corrupting corpses and filthy thoughts and ungodly intentions, if your heart is full of revenge and anger, out of that heart, without you doing anything overtly, without you doing anything, you can't help it. It just comes out of you. What's inside of you flows. It's your life. It's the way you live. If there's bitterness in there, bitterness comes out. If there's rebellion in there, rebellion comes out. If there's greed, if there's envy, if there's covetousness in there, it flows out of your heart. And those around you feel it. They might not be able to put a finger on it, but they are drinking from your stream, and there's something wrong with it. Have you ever lived in an area where there was sulfur in the water? Anybody? Okay, several of you can identify with that. And you know, you go in and you put the glass under the spigot to get a drink of water, and before you get it to your lips, there's this noxious odor, this nauseous smell that comes up in your nostrils. Now, you may not be a chemist. I want to tell you, the youngest child who could not tell you that that is sulfur in the water still knows there's something wrong with the water. When we live in such a way that we don't have a guard around our heart, and there's been periods in my life when I've done that. I didn't realize it. I've had wars in my heart. Y'all are looking at me wide-eyed. Have you never had wars in your heart? And had to fight things off? Well, why do we need to do that? We need to do that because the stream of our life must be pure for those whose lives we touch, instead of walking away from us defiled and polluted, walk away cleansed. Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, out of that self, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. I have so often made the mistake of wanting God to come down and almost get frustrated at times because God wouldn't come down. We pray, pour yourself out on us. And then it doesn't happen. But you know what the New Testament image is? After the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit came down anymore, but He came out of them. They were full of the Spirit of God. Out of your innermost self shall flow rivers of living waters. And our forefathers saw revival, and they talked about when God came down, and they talked about outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and they talked about revival in those terms. But in reality, if you want to be theologically correct, it wasn't an outpouring, it was an upwelling of the Holy Spirit of God out of the hearts of people who were cleansed and walking with God and guarding their hearts. And out of that heart came a great cry for God to manifest Himself, and He did do that in His people. I pray for revival. I believe in revival. But I tell you, the issues of life come out of our hearts. They come out of our hearts. It's from the heart that our mouth speaks. Jesus said, for a good tree bringeth forth not forth good fruit. Excuse me. For a good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. You see, it's the inner part of the tree is shown by the fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, now listen to this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. People who have a guard about their heart, who are born again, walking in the kingdom of God, walking in fellowship with the Spirit of God, being yielded to the Lord, seeking God as God leads them to seek, crying out to Him, examining the heart. Those kinds of people have resources within them where they can bring out good stuff for other people. But you know as well as I do, there are folks whose hearts just as, I mean, everything they say defiles you. You feel dirty around them. Their words, their cursing, their criticizing, they're putting down, they're dividing, they're constantly. You sense that out of their hearts. It's coming out of their hearts. You know, the Bible talks about examining your heart. When's the last time you really got honest before God? Let me tell you something about this walking in the kingdom, walking in the presence of God. It's going to take discipline. And discipline means there are going to be times when you need to go before God and say, "Oh God, show me what's in my heart. Show me what's in my heart." David said, "Oh God, examine me. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, look in my heart and then tell me about it." I've discovered all kinds of things in my heart that I had to confess to God as sinful and wrong and ask Him to forgive me and for Him to cleanse me. Had to run to the cross over and over again and say, "Oh God, You've shown me this thing is wrong. Forgive me of this. Cleanse me of this." A group of the prophets got together one time and they couldn't drink the water that was supplied to them. Elijah, I believe it was, took a tree instructed by the Lord and put it in the water, and it made the water clean so they could drink it. Every once in a while I have to go to the cross, the old rugged cross, the tree, and put it in my heart to cleanse the water. I have to apply the blood of Christ to me all over again. Not get saved over again. We're talking about sanctification here. We're talking about holy living here. Examine your heart. Look at your heart. Cry out to God to say, "Oh God, show me what's in my heart." And then as He shows you, confess it. And believe Him to forgive you of it and to cleanse you of it. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He will do it every time to cleanse us, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that as we're cleansed, the issues of our heart, our lives flow out and it's clean. And when people touch us, they don't feel dirty. They feel cleansed. They feel clean. At least they know there's a clean stream coming from you. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" It's from our hearts, as I said at the beginning, that we believe on Jesus. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Here it is, guys. Here it is. In the center of my being, on a Thursday evening, 40 some years ago, I bowed in an altar, and in the very center of who I am as a person, I believed that Jesus Christ had died and been raised, and that God had made Him Lord. And I cried out to Him to change my heart, and He changed me. He gave me a new heart. I didn't invite Him into my heart. He gave me a new heart. He began to live within my life. And now He says to me as a Christian, "Put a guard by your heart. Watch your heart. Because out of it, people's lives are touched." Listen, you're not unimportant in this. He's speaking to you as well. Do you believe in your heart? I know you believe. I know you do. Do you? In your heart? What does He say will happen if you truly believe? He says you'll be changed. You'll be given a new heart. It's from our hearts that we love God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thy soul, with all thy mind. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, something hit me like a ton of bricks the other day. I was thinking about that thing of you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And I got to thinking, who do I belong to? Well, I belong to Jesus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Isn't that a great song? I belong to Jesus. I'm not my own and bought with a price. And then I thought, I belong to my wife. I gave myself to her. She gave herself to me. I belong to my wife. And then I thought, I belong to my church. I am not my own. Call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and I will not tell you I'm not getting out of bed and coming over there. I'm not my own. I belong to you. And then this hit me. Jesus said there was a fella got robbed one day and was left for dead on the side of the road. And a Samaritan came by. And the Samaritan picked him up, took him to the inn, poured wine in his wounds, paid the innkeeper. Guess what? You know what? Jesus was answering the question, who is my neighbor? He just said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And it dawned on me, I don't belong just to Jesus and just to my wife and just to the church. I belong to whoever happens to be my neighbor. The good Samaritan said, it's not my money. I'll take the Lord's money and put this man in an inn. It's not my wine. I'll pour it in his wounds. I don't belong to me anymore. If you ever get to that place in your heart, that's where Jesus lives. Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ the night before He was going to go and give it all on Calvary's cross, getting down on His knees and washing His disciples' feet and saying, that, as I have done unto you, that's the way you're supposed to treat one another. I am not my own in any sense of that word. Because when I became His, I became everybody else's. Now I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this really closely. The greatest conflict in your life as a Christian, I'm still talking to Christians, the greatest conflict in your life is that tendency to say, no, this is mine. My money, my time, my vacation, mine. I was in South Africa a few years ago, and I was in the mission station. Had a missionary and his wife. He really wasn't a missionary. He was a white South African. Now they're Dutch Reformed people, okay? And he had been a general in the army. And so I'm there in their home and I'm teaching in their school. They had a school and maybe 100 black guys there and a couple of women studying for the ministry and different things. And I was teaching in that school. And I was staying in the mission house there. And all of a sudden, everything just broke loose in that house. I mean, he was mad. He was raving. They had a poor little black woman who came in who had been their, and I'm going to say this as lightly as I know how to say it, been their servant for years. And she came in one day wearing a shirt. And this old general, this quote-unquote Christian, blew his top and accused her of stealing his shirt. And he was about to run her completely off, being as mean to her as he could possibly be. And he wanted me to arbitrate. Here was the lady's explanation. There had been a box of clothes. She was under the impression they were to be given away and that she could choose whatever she wanted. And so she got the shirt. No, she stole it. She stole my shirt. Would she be so stupid as to steal your shirt, put it on, come in your house and fix your breakfast in your shirt? And after that, it was just stub up and rattle his paper. You know what? All of that selfishness was what was flowing out of his... Wouldn't it have been good if he had said, "My, you look good in that shirt. I've got several others, old shirts or shirts that I'm not using anymore, maybe some new ones. Why don't we go to town and buy you some new clothes?" Do you see the difference about what flows out of people's hearts? And that's where we get in trouble more than anywhere else. Mine. Me. Mine. This is mine. You can't intrude on this. This is mine. Nothing's ours. We don't, listen, we belong to somebody. Nothing belongs to us. Now I belong to Jesus. We say Jesus belongs to me, but only in the sense that He's our Savior and our Lord. We belong to everybody. Can you imagine the revival that would break out if all of God's children begin to give like that? So that we weren't our own, but we live for others in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. We have to put a double guard around our heart. Keep your heart with all keeping. Now, brother, sister, listen to me closely. That takes work. We used to sing an old song years ago, and I'm going to mess up the words as sure as I try to say it. But it had something to do with, shall we be carried to heaven on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize, fought through bloody seas? No, we must fight if we would win. And then it's left me the rest of it. But do you get the point? We preach grace around here. And we preach grace so strongly and so hard, if we're not careful, we'll leave the people of God under the impression that God's just going to carry them on to heaven. Well, He is! But I tell you what, He expects us to put a guard over our hearts, to pray, to seek His face, to read His Word, to follow the road map, to make sure that the self, that the heart, has a guard around it, so that there's no dead, filthy, polluted water that comes down out of our lives, touching other people's lives. Keep your heart with all keeping, because out of it rushes forth your life, and who you are shows out of that life. Out of that life. Father, I pray this afternoon that You'd help us. Lord, not just have a discussion this afternoon or a sermon about this, but I pray, oh God, all of us, Lord, would examine our own hearts before You. And Lord, You'd deal with us and help us. Help us as Your people as we present ourselves before You, that we might learn, dear Lord Jesus, how to keep our hearts, how to be clean, how to walk holy. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be holy in my heart. Help us all with this labor, with this work, with this joyous task, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.